السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن أحب الأعمال إلى الله تعالى بعد الفرائض إدخال السرور على المسلم، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders, ulama ikram, dear friends, and those who are listening over the online platform, let us commence by reciting durood and salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. Wal habibu alladhi turja shafa'atuhu bi kulli hawlin min al ahwali muqtahini. My most respected elders, dear brothers, one of the very elusive aspirations of a person in life is that we all acquire happiness. Every person is desirous of happiness, every person is in pursuit of happiness, and everything that we generally do, we are trying to seek and acquire happiness through it. And the aspect of happiness is something which is a theme of the Quran al-Kareem, and it is also something which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has given direction towards and has taught us du'as in terms of this aspect of our life. And furthermore, we find that it is also one of the ultimate goals of our life, that we acquire and we attain the abode of eternal bliss and happiness, and the ultimate bliss and happiness, and that is Al-Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who acquire this elusive goal and admit us into eternal bliss and happiness and peace in Al-Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus. However, like everything else in this world, it is something that needs to be acquired, and it is something that a person needs to make an effort for. And in order to acquire something, of course, a person has to apply the correct approach. He has to have the right way to go about getting what he wants to get. And therefore, it's important to understand what is the definition of happiness, that what happiness really means. Why? Because at times, the concepts of happiness, of joy, of pleasure and bliss can be misplaced. A person can have a sense of happiness and pleasure. A person may think and believe that he is happy, but he may not be truly happy. And therefore, when we look at the definition of happiness in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to an aspect which is known as qana'ah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Itminan, qana'ah, contentment, and deep-seated acceptance and pleasure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also negates the incorrect understanding and the incorrect definition, if we can say, of happiness. And Allah uses the literal word of happiness, which is known as farah in the Quran. So Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, لا تفرح. The people who had accumulated a lot of wealth and means of happiness in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't celebrate over this. Don't think that this is your happiness, or this is going to make you happy, or this is going to give you true happiness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Allah does not love those who use the output means of happiness to become happy with an unhealthy form of happiness. So we understand that just having the means of happiness does not necessarily promise happiness. And we see this so apparent in the world today, that there are people who have every means of happiness, every means of comfort, everything that a person can think of, and more than that also. But that person may not necessarily be happy, and in fact that person may also be miserable. And on the other hand, a person may not necessarily have the means of happiness, but such a person, because he has his faith anchored and grounded in the principles of happiness, then that person is living a life of true contentment and itminan, and that person is happy in the true sense. So therefore, this aspect of happiness is something that we are taught in the Quran al-Kareem, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam alluded to it in du'as. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam did not negate that a person should not be happy in this world. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. The most profound du'a, the king of all du'as, the du'as that has got the most depth in it, is Rabbana atina fid dunya. It is a Quranic du'a. It is a du'a that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam used to recite after every salah. In some hadith it comes that whenever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam used to meet someone, he used to make this du'a. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. So it was a frequently recited du'a, and it's a du'a that has a very comprehensive meaning and understanding of true happiness in life. And that is, it is something that we should acquire. Oh Allah, we want to acquire happiness. Oh Allah, you grant us happiness. Oh Allah, you give me happiness. Atina fi dunya hasana. I'm asking for happiness in this world. And by being happy does not necessarily mean that a person will be free of trials and tribulations. This is another misconception and a misunderstanding of true happiness, that in order for me to be truly happy, I must have no troubles in life. This is actually asking for the impossible, because those personalities who enjoyed the greatest amount of happiness in life, or those who were the closest to Allah, the closer a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater the happiness a person experiences, the greater inner contentment a person experiences. And the people who had the greatest relationship with Allah and who enjoyed the greatest amount of contentment and itminan in life were none other than the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the messengers. And they were also the ones who underwent the greatest trials. And from all of humanity, the individual who underwent the most amount of trials and the greatest trials was none other than our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that I have been tested and I have been tried like no other person has been tried. And this is all found in the seerah. When we go through the pages of the seerah, we learn how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced challenges in his life, one challenge after the other, right up till the end of his life. So therefore, we also understand this very important principle, that in order for a person to be truly happy, it does not mean that a person is free of troubles, worries, concerns, but it actually reinforces the fact that every person can be happy in life if that person's perspective of happiness is correct. If the person's outlook to life is correct. And this is what is matloob. This is what is desired. This is what is required, that we are able to identify, define, and appreciate and understand and acquire the correct understanding of happiness and what happiness truly means. So we find that one or two aspects we will just touch on. Of course, there are many ways in which we can approach this particular subject matter. And it's a very expansive matter that you can go into lots of ayat of the Quran al-Kareem and different narratives. But just for the purposes of this particular discourse, there are two or three aspects that I want to touch on that cause a person, or that dampens a person's spirit, and that takes away the happiness from a person's life. If we understand these few concepts and ideas, then we will be able to better and enhance the rate of happiness in our life. So one is, we find the aspect of competitiveness among human beings. We have heard the saying that the grass always looks greener on the other side. And this is something that we find the community and ourselves as individuals are entangled in. That because we think that happiness truly lies in the asbab, in the means of happiness. Therefore, we look at the means, the outward means, the people who have the means, the people who have those things that we think are making them happy, and we begin to aspire for that, and we then begin to compete with that. Whereas we know the reality is, and as the saying I just mentioned, that the grass is not necessarily greener on the other side. It only looks greener. There was a nice slogan that I read, which said that if all of us had to sit around the table and we had to put all our problems onto the table, if everybody took all his problems, his worries, his fikr, and he brought it in some form and he placed it on the table, and we saw everyone else's problems, because we don't know what's going on in that person's life in reality. We may see an outward picture or an outward understanding of that person's life, but what truly is happening in that person's life, that we do not know. So if we could come around the table and each person puts his problems onto the table and says, you know what, I think your life is better than my life. Come, you know what, let me take your life, you take my life. Then it is said that we will all walk away with our own problems. Meaning, we will realize that it's not how we thought, that I am worse off than this person. In actual fact, it could be that I am better off than that person who I thought is much better off than me. So this aspect of competitiveness, and that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that if you want a peaceful life, if you want to be at peace, then look at those who have less than you in the dunya, in material terms, in the asbab of happiness, in the means of happiness. Right? Because then you will realize that you are really much more fortunate. And Allah has blessed you so much. And that is in terms of dunya and the world. And as far as our deen is concerned, then look at the person who is better than us. If you really want to compete, and you want to get more happiness, and you want to gain greater inner satisfaction, then look at a person who is doing better than you as far as deen is concerned. And try to compete with that person and aspire what that person is achieving. So this is one very important aspect that we find causes a lot of grief to us. A lot of worry to a person. Undue worry, undue anxiety, undue distress. That we're looking at things, we're looking at people, and we are trying to now acquire what they are acquiring, or we are trying to compete with them in that. The other aspect as far as inner happiness and contentment is concerned is the aspect of expectation. And this is something that we hear all the time. That people have expectations in other people. The husband has an expectation in his wife. The wife has an expectation from the husband. The son has an expectation from the father. The employee has an expectation from the employer. And we begin to cultivate these expectations within us. That, yeah, I think, you know, this person is going to do this for me. I think this is going to happen. I think, no, he's got it. He can do this for me. He definitely can help me. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. Or if I do this, then I'm going to be praised. Or I'm going to be acknowledged. Or I'm going to be thanked. Or I'm going to be given a reward. And the disappointment comes about, the grief comes about, the hurt comes about when the expectation is not met. And many a times, my dear friends, we know when it comes to human beings, then we are let down. And our expectation is not met. I do everything for him. I do everything for her. So much I do. but I don't get anything in return. Doesn't thank me, doesn't acknowledge me, doesn't recognize me. So therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a remedy for this. And says that in life, if you want true happiness, then do whatever you do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is most appreciative, Allah acknowledges everything, Allah recognizes a person's effort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah will not waste a person's effort in the sense that Allah will always appreciate it, acknowledge it, and reward a person for it. Allah will give a person in return something for that. In this world and in the akhirat. It could be in the form of honor. It could be in the form of some other inner attribute and sifat. To be grateful is a great wealth. For a person to have good character, good attributes, is a great wealth. That's why they say you get different types of poor people also. Poor person is not only the person who doesn't have wealth. In fact, the person who is the most poor is the person who has poor conduct. He has poor character. He's got poor manners. And if we look at this, then we will find that the world is filled with poverty. So true happiness, true poverty, true wealth is what? These are the important aspects for us to understand so that we are able to acquire these things easily. So this aspect of expectation is something that we need to moderate, we need to understand. And if a person is able to release himself from the expectation of others, then such a person, his soul will be at a lot of ease and rest. A lot of ease. Everything as far as our emotions is concerned is related to our soul. That's why today the big talk is about what? They talk about psychology. Psychology is health, mental well-being, mental wellness. Wellness and all of these things are the buzzwords. Right? But where does this all emanate from? What? In terms of the Greek language, it actually means the soul. The wellness of the soul. So, if we want to enjoy true wellness, true wellness of the mind, the wellness of the heart, the wellness of the soul, then we have to go down to the root of it. That where is our unhappiness, our anxiety, our distress, where is it emanating from? And if we address it at that level, then we will find it will be easier for us to be happy and it will be easier for us to find the contentment that we are looking for. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us as far as expectations is concerned, man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna Allah. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna Allah. That person who sets right the relationship, he fixes up his association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then set right his relationship with the creation and with the people that he is interacting with. And then a person will not feel disappointed about anything. A person, inwardly, there may be some emotional feeling. Yes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself used to feel distressed when the people never accepted his message. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be distressed about it. He would be worried about it. And he would be hurt about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِيقُ صَدْرُكَ. We know that your chest has become narrow because of the way that they are treating you, the words that they are saying to you, the way they are addressing you. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The remedy. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Turn to your soul. Turn to the point that is feeling that hurt and that distress. And give that the comfort and the relaxation that it is required, and you will reach a point of itminan. So Nabi SAW was not asked to retaliate in a way that would cause him to embroil himself into greater distress. But he was asked to withdraw from that situation. And فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. So مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. This is the key. That once we do this, then we open the door to happiness for ourselves. Because now, whether a person really acknowledges me, a person praises me, a person thanks me, a person worries about me, that's not really going to be my main worry and my focus. My focus is that I have placed in al-hukmu illa lillah. The Quran Sharif is very beautiful in psychology also. It gives us all the fundamental points of psychology and human and human wellness. In al-hukmu illa lillah. Yusuf alayhi salam, when the whole story turned out such that now he was making a plan to keep Binyamin back, right? The law of Egypt at that time did not allow a person to be able to hold an individual back who had come with a delegation of his family. He did not have the authority to do that. So Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him that the way that you are going to be able to keep Binyamin back, because Binyamin was missing Yusuf and Yusuf alayhi salam was missing his brother also. So this inspiration was given to Yusuf alayhi salam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that put that cup into his bag, the golden cup, and then create a situation that seemed as though Binyamin was the culprit who was stealing the cup from the royal court. And then we know what happened, the story. He was then convicted and then he had to stay back, and that's how Yusuf alayhi salam and Binyamin were united. So the asbab of happiness, my dear friends, do not bring down, do not give us true happiness. And one more point I will end on, wherein Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that if we want to enjoy true happiness, then happiness is something that we should be able to convey. حَبَّ الْعَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بَعْدَ الْفَرَائِدِ. After a person does his obligations and his fara'id, then he should become a carrier and a bearer and a conveyor of happiness. إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ. We must be able to infuse and share happiness with others. Seeing others happy should give us happiness. And this is from the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you truly want to be happy, then happiness will come by making others happy. There's an Arabic saying, man as'ada an-nas. The question, who is the happiest of people? And the answer is with the same letters, man as'ada an-nas. Man as'ada an-nas, who is the happiest of people? Man as'ada an-nas, the person who makes people happy. So these are some of the principles of happiness and contentment and qana'at and acceptance. And if a person makes tafweez with the rada of Allah, in other words, he surrenders all matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree and Allah's order, and he accepts it, and there's adaptation. We accept that these are the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life, and we adapt to them, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then fill our lives with happiness and mawaddah. One of the ways of gaining happiness is for a person to enjoy a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage relationship. Alhamdulillah, there's a nikah that's going to be taking place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created means and channels and vehicles. So through happiness, and everyone who is married knows that marriage is not a bed of roses. You shouldn't be saying this to someone who's just getting married, but nonetheless, you pass the lesson on. It can be a bed of roses, but there's thorns also. So this entire exercise of marriage is an exercise that brings a person to a reality. That if you want to enjoy true happiness, then true happiness is not going to be in what will bring happiness through means and material aspects. But it will be the way that a person applies himself in the relationship, which will require patience, it will require tolerance, it will require understanding, it will require wisdom, it will require forgiveness, it will require a person to overlook, it will require a person to do so many things. And then that relationship will be able to be sustained, it will become stronger, it will be able to flourish, and in that way it will bring a great amount of happiness and bliss when all of these ingredients and aspects are found in that relationship. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, in this time when we find there is a lot of frustration among us, in the ummah particularly, there's a lot of anger also, which are not natural human tendencies because of the conditions that we are facing. We are seeing what is happening around us in the world. We find that there is a betrayal, there's a lot that is happening around the ummah. And therefore, if we begin to drill down to the actual principles and the core understanding of how we are being to stay afloat in this time, and how we are going to be able to embrace the challenges and not become weakened through looking at the surface picture of things and the output manifestation of things, then inshallah we will be able to hold ourselves up, we will be able to have qanaat and contentment, we will be able to understand things in the proper perspective, and we will also then be able to activate ourselves. must remember that a lot that is happening today is there to weaken us psychologically. Obviously, we are militarily weak, we are physically weak, we are, in terms of our unity, we are weak. And then if we are going to become weak as far as our mental state is concerned and our psychological state is concerned, that is an additional weakness, and that is not a good state for us to be in. So therefore, in order for us to be able to uplift ourselves and meet the challenges of the time and be able to respond to the trials that we are facing, we're going to have to strengthen ourselves, our own well-being, our own mental state, our own spiritual state, our emotional state. And in that way, inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be able to go forward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone true happiness. Allah grant us true bliss and qanaat and contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with a lot of happiness and goodness. And inshallah, this nikah that is taking place also may become a means of a lot of happiness for the couple, for the families. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us goodness and khair and happiness. Wa akhiru da'wana. Nikah parties can come forward.